Okay, thank you, my students. I just want to just highlight the last stanza, the first two lines. It says, let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. As long as we live on this earth, our duty, our responsibility that God has laid upon us is we should labor for him, for the master, from dawn till setting sun. That's what I say. We don't have time, my friends. We don't have time from dawn till setting sun. We don't have time. Our work is to preach the gospel of Christ to the unbelieving people. So it says here in the second line, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. There are many words that we can speak out, we can say to many people, but the most of all is his wondrous love and his wonderful care. That's what we are to share to the unbelieving people tonight. As for us tonight, and for you it is the daytime. Tonight I just want to bring a meditation from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. I think we all know this passage. Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 to 3. I read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. May God bless us through this holy word. Now here in verse 1, we find the prophet Isaiah. We all know that this is the Messiah's ministry. Okay, Messiah. Let's say Isaiah is a type of Jesus Christ. Type of Jesus Christ. Now here in verse 1, we find the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It says here. it continues saying that because he had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. In this passage, there are six things I want to focus. In another word, I will say there are six infinitives we have. Two and so. We have six infinitives we have in this passage. Now, here in verse 1, it says that because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. The word anointed is coming from the Hebrew word masak, which indicates a pouring on of oil to set apart a person for a specific office. The anointing here emphasizes the prophetic nature of Christ's ministry. Now, let's go down here. The six infinities, the first one that we find here is that, as we said, this is the Messiah's ministry. Jesus Christ himself quoted this verse, if I'm not mistaken, he quoted up to verse 2 in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He quoted this passage. Now, when we see this, the first infinitive, it says that to preach good tidings unto the meek. To preach good tidings or the gospel of the Redeemer, or of Christ to the meek, to the penitent, to the humble, and to the poor. This is a reference to the proclamation of the gospel, and the it is actually to the priority of evangelism. It is the priority of evangelism to preach good tidings, to preach the gospel of Christ. That is the first infinitive that we find here. And the second thing that we find is to bind up the brokenhearted, to place, a bandages of healing for those whose hearts are broken for sin. To bind up, to heal, the brokenhearted. We all are captive into sin. We are bound. We are wounded because of sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to bring the healing for the brokenness that we have, the wound that we have. Here, this healing is for those whose hearts are humble, especially. If we are ignorant, if we are, if we are not willing to accept the salvation or the message that comes to Christ, then it is not possible for us. But it is especially for the brokenhearted, those who are totally broken in their heart because of the sins that they committed or because of the sins that they have in their life. If they humble themselves and come to Christ, Christ will heal them. It is for those whose hearts are broken for sin, who are truly humble under the sense of guilt and dread of wrath. They are bound. They are bound up. They are healed in the gospel of Christ. Their brokenness is heard by God. That is the second thing that we find here. Now in number three, the third thing that we find here is that to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison. We know that Isaiah was a prophet, especially during the Babylonian captivity. The people of Israel were under captivity. And the message is given to Isaiah, he to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison. That's what it says. But I think in this passage, what it means to say is that, as we have said previously in the previous point, as we all are under sins, the relationship that we have with God the Father was already broken right through Adam. Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve committed sin, we are all becoming sinners. We became sinners. We become sinners. We are all under the bondage of sin. So, this is the ministry of Isaiah. At the same time, it is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth to proclaim the liberty to the captive, to the captivity, or to the captives, and the opening of the prison. We are all chained in sin. We are all chained in sin. We are all bound. So Jesus Christ came to release us. In the Hebrew, this phrase is the same phrase used for the proclamation of freedom at the year of Jubilee. That's what we find in the Jewish tradition, right? When all slaves were set free. When all slaves were set free. By the dominion of sin in us, we are bound under the power of Satan. We are totally depraved. The total depravity. We are all totally depraved. We don't have any means, any other options to save by ourselves. But Jesus Christ, being King, being God, being Lord of Lords, He Himself had to come down to this earth, to the sinful world, to save us from this bondage of sin, to deliver us from this sin, from this bondage. That's what we find. So to save our time, let's go to the fourth one. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That's what we find. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In another version, we find to proclaim the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. What is the favor of the Lord? What is the acceptable year of the Lord? Jesus Christ had came down to this earth to save us. This is my interpretation. I don't know the other comment, the scholars, how they interpret about this. But since he came down to this earth, there is the good news. There is the tidings, right? The tidings, that is the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the favor of the Lord. He himself brought to us, right? That is the favor of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord, that he brought salvation to the humankind. I think that is the favor of the Lord. That is the acceptable year of the Lord for all of us. Right? We are bound and now set free. This is the gospel proclamation. And it is like the blowing of Jubilee's trumpet, which proclaimed the great release. We are released. We are released. We have been released from our sins because Christ came down to this sinful world, to this earth. It proclaims the free grace. Perhaps it is called the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the day of vengeance of our Lord. The day of vengeance may refer to the judgment on believers during tribulation. That is the time that God's wrath is going to pour out to the world, to the universe. It may refer to the vengeance. I mean, this vengeance may also refer to It may refer to the vengeance on sin and Satan, death and hell, and all the powers of darkness to be destroyed in order to our deliverance. When Christ triumphed over on the cross. That is another exception that we have. Let's go to the next point. To comfort all that mourns. All that mourns. He is sent to comfort all who mourn and who mourning and seek him, especially those who seek him in their, when they are in sorrow, when they are in trouble. If they seek him, then Christ is ever ready to comfort those people, those who mourn. But yes, we've said before, if we are not lowly, if we are not humble ourselves, then I don't think, right, the proud people will never accept Christ. The proud people will never accept Christ. Unless we humble ourselves, unless we are lowly, unless we are meek, I don't think Christ is going to talk to us. The Holy Spirit is going to talk to us. Unless we open up our hearts and minds and come to him, kneel down before him, bow down before in humility, in humiliation, Christ is not going to accept us. If we are in trouble, if we mourn for any reason, the most important thing is that our hearts should go to Christ. We should humble ourselves. We should be meek and lowly. Then only Christ can come to our life. Number 6, we have to grant to those who mourn in Zion as blessings out of Zion are spiritual blessings. So mourners in Zion are holy mourners. So mourners in Zion are holy mourners. Their sorrows are carried to the throne of grace. Their sorrows and their troubles are carried to the throne of grace. The recipients of these blessings would be those who are broken because of their personal sin. Those who are broken. Otherwise, we cannot be a recipient of salvation. We cannot be recipients of the blessings or the comfort. We have run out of time. Let me just go a little bit. And here we find in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Those who mourn, their ashes will be changed, will be exchanged to beauty. And their mourning will be changed or exchanged into the oil of joy. That's what we find. The beauty. Says the beauty. This same root word is used to describe the glory and the radiance of a Jehovah, God, who is the light of Jerusalem. So, these ashes would be exchanged with, what I say, the radiance and the glory of Jehovah in our life. And so, and also it says, the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy which makes their face to shine. The mourning will be exchanged with the oil of joy. In their face, there won't be any more mourning. There won't be any more a kind of a gloomy face. Maybe because of the struggle, the trouble that they have personally. Maybe because of their sins and because of our sins. But Christ is coming to give us, to exchange this, the mourning into shine. And here it says the garment of praise. Garment of praise. The garment of praise. Garments that were on Thanksgiving Day. Especially I think in the Jewish tradition. In the Thanksgiving Day, the garments that they wore. So, those exchanges we have in Christ. Christ brought all these things in our life. Our mourning will be changed into the vengeance, the glory of God in our life, to which we can shine like believers, like Christians, not like the unbelievers. But God is going to shine to us that people will see who we are. We are not alone. We are not going to go through the struggle, the troubles, or the mourning that we have in our life. But God is going to work too. That's what we find here. So this evening, as we have just shared, I think we have run a little long time already. We have run out. But I just want to say in a conclusion is that here we are. We are believers. We are given responsibility. Actually, I was thinking of sharing from the book of Matthew chapter 28, that the Great Commission that we have. But when I was there, maybe in the last Saturday, I think Sarik was sharing a little bit about this. So I just skipped that one, and then I just came to this this message today. So one thing that I want to say from this passage is that I just want to place ourselves into this position, like as Christ, as Isaiah, we are commissioned with the responsibility and the burdens that we should go. Our duty is to proclaim or to do all these, the six infinities that we find, I mean, we find in this passage. It is all our duty. As we pass it on, this message to the people, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to tell or to proclaim the tidings, the great tidings of Jesus Christ. To comfort the mourns, to comfort the people who are mourning. We are responsible to bring, especially those who are in captivity, those who are in bondage in sin. It is our duty, it is our responsibility to go and share the word of God, to bring them to Christ. This is our duty, as Isaiah did it. And that was the main message that even the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ himself did on this earth. Not only he brought salvation work, but also he preached. He preached. Likewise, we also ought to preach the gospel to the unbelieving people. It is our duty, it is our responsibility. So this is just my challenge to all of us tonight.